is Jack Nicklaus hitting out of a berry blind.
Welcome back to the Teed Up Golf Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Golfbox. Head over there and buy yourself a little treat. Golfbox.com.au, super fast delivery, Australia's number one golfing retailer. Head over to Golfbox, buy yourself a treat. You deserve it. Now, boy, oh boy, do we have a large episode in store for everyone today. LIV Golf has arrived in Adelaide and we are absolutely pumped. And we're joined by Mark Leishman, who is an integral part of Ripper GC. The Big Leash, the great man, gave us so much time. We took an amazing deep dive into his incredible career in golf. Six-time winner on the PGA Tour, 9 wins around the world, highest world ranking of number 12 back in 2017. Throughout the episode, Leash takes us inside his world, his transition to LIV Golf back in 2022, alongside Cam, how that process all worked. He takes us inside his mind at the time. We chat about his success at majors and the world rankings now, how he's missing out on playing those due to the world ranking saga that is rocking the world of golf. We also chat about his upbringing back in Warrnambool, how he got into the game, his rookie season back in 2009, playing with Tiger Woods, amongst heaps of other things. Leish was so generous with his time. He's been a grail of mine. I've wanted to get him on the podcast from the very beginning, and I'm so pumped to bring this one out for you guys. Leish is a superstar. Make sure if you are getting down to LIV Adelaide this week, we show heaps of support to the great man. He's in ripping form and he might be a chance, so let's get around the rippers this week at LIV Adelaide. Enough from me, let's get over to the great man, Mark Leishman. Mark Leishman, thanks for joining the Teed Up Golf Podcast. Been a long time me wanting to get you on, massive fan from afar. How are you?
Yeah, doing good. Yeah, happy to be here. And it's on the way to Australia at the moment for the big event next week. So excited to get down there and get into it.
Yes, you are, mate. I can't wait to get over there and watch you. Like, I put out a post the other day, who's going? And about 70% of our listeners have said, yes, we're going. So it's going to be jam-packed. And talking to people on the ground at the Grange, there's more infrastructure around for in the stands and everything. So they're going to be a bit more heckling for you, big fella. That'll be good.
Yeah, I've heard they've amped it up a little bit, so it's good. You know, playing in front of that many people, and it's always so much fun, and particularly in Australia, you know, as big as the crowd was and as rowdy as the crowd was, they were very respectful. So I'd expect more of the same, and yeah, just like really excited, not just about the golf either, like just about the feeling around Adelaide away from the golf course. The whole town was buzzing last year, so expecting more of the same.
Yeah, mate, it's going to be absolutely humming. Can't wait to get over there. Integral part of Ripper GC. So leading into this week in Adelaide, like Herbie's good friend of this pod. We've had Herbie on heaps of times. What are you most looking forward to about from a team perspective, like adding Herbie into the mix? What's sort of he brought to the dynamic, and how's that all working with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's proven himself as a winner all around the world, and certainly, you know, made our team fairly strong. Next week, I'm hoping the course is going to be firm. I think as a team, we do better on firmer and faster and tougher golf courses. So hoping the weather can cooperate, we can get it nice and firm, and it plays like we are in Australia.
Yeah, no, that'll be good, mate. Can't wait for that. You had a pretty good start, pretty good week last week in Miami. I think tied fourth or fourth overall. How's your game feeling and looking leading into the, I don't know, we'll call it the unofficial Aussie major. You've had the PGA and the Aussie Open, but this has sort of taken over a bit too.
Yeah, it has. No, feeling really good. I've been playing pretty well all year. Putter was a bit cold early on, but same sort of story as last year. I had the same sort of thing happening last year, and I sorted it out in about June last year. So this year I've done it a little earlier, hopefully. So I'm looking to make it a few more putts and yeah, have a real big week. Not just as an individual, but as a team, I think we're a pretty good shot.
Yeah, mate. You've got class all through. Like Jonesy's short game's unbelievable. Obviously, Cam's just coming off a top 10 at the Masters, which, you know, could have been anything if his putter was hot. Like seeing him interviewed post-Masters, he said it's the best he's hit it around there. And then he just didn't hole anything, which is very un-Smith-like. What's it like sort of being good mates with the great man and sort of just watching him close up and traveling with him all the time? We see you guys always laughing and having little jokes off to the side. I can only imagine what fans said, but what's it like sort of watching Cam?
We have a lot of fun. I mean, we've always had a lot of fun, to be honest, but now with the being on the same schedule, as in on tournament weeks, same tee times every day, it's we've spent a lot of time together, and it's been great just to see how he goes about things. I'm trying to learn from him as well, and he's very observant at what everyone else does. So, you know, he's always trying to learn, whether it's from me or Herbie or Jonesy or any of the other boys that play on LIV. He's always looking to improve, and it's just been good to see him. I mean, I've known him since about 16. I mean, you could see then he was going to be good. You know, he's got the one major under his belt so far, a couple of LIV wins. Yeah, I mean, he's got the drive and the game to pretty much do whatever he wants. So I wouldn't surprise me to see him have another massive year this year and certainly contend in some more majors.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. And I can't wait to see you out there as well. Smash GC. So you initially signed with Glenn Cam did after his Open win, famously, you know, was out in the Open anyway. I think someone dropped it early days that you guys are heading off to LIV back in late 2022.
Yeah.
Can you sort of open up, like when Herbie came on just a couple of weeks ago after he signed with you guys, he spoke about how the whole process worked for him, how Cam reached out, and it all happened really quickly. But what was it like for you guys coming across? And can you just talk us through the process of going from PGA Tour player to LIV player when in the infancy?
Yeah, it was very quick, actually. I mean, we'd had conversations earlier that year that didn't really go anywhere. And then I guess once it started to pick up some steam, you know, the tournament started, you could see it was turning into something pretty unique and cool. I got a phone call from Greg Norman the week after the US Open, and then we didn't sign until after that FedEx Cup. But I can't speak for Cam, but I didn't sign until after that. But it was pretty much a you know, we decided we were going within about probably 10 days of that phone call. You know, it was obviously a massive decision, and I still had a few years exemption on the tour. So like as far as lengths of contracts and that sort of thing goes, it's, you know, you wanted to make sure that was all good for a bit of job security. But it was, all fairly quick and very easy. Pretty sure I can talk for Cam, but we're both as happy as we've ever been. It's nice to sort of have someone to go through that with. Was a little bit of a package deal, the two of us. I sort of said to him, well, I'm not going unless you go, and he said the same. So we decided together, and you know, it was a pretty big decision for both of us, huge decision. But I'd say more so for him, just being at the stage of his career that he was in, and me at the, you know, a little bit older, almost 40, and a little bit easier decision, particularly with the three young kids at home. You know, that extra time at home and the extra dollars didn't hurt, more time in Australia. Yeah, certainly. Very, very happy with my decision.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Work-life balance is important, whether you're a pro golfer or, you know, drug rep like I am. It's important, and no one blames you, mate. And it's been unbelievable, I think, for Aussie golf having you guys go across to LIV, because what it's done is freed you guys up to come back and play in Australia for the PGA, the Open. Like I was at Vic and Kingston Heath a couple of years ago, and I was up at the Aussie this year. What's it like? Has that been awesome? Like, you guys supporting Aussie golf coming back, the crowds have been sick. Like, I think it's just added another layer to the Aussie golf scene. How does that feel coming back and knowing that, you know, Aussie golf is booming because of on the back of you guys taking the sort of the leap of faith?
I mean, it feels good. It doesn't feel too much different as far as the tournaments and all that, but it's just nice to be able to come back and not feel like you've missed any events in America. Actually having an off season is great, and then the support from the people has been huge at the beginning. Particularly, you saw a lot of negativity in social media and all that. But in person, it was very minimal. We had maybe, you know, two or three people yelling stuff at us. Where you know, online, you would think it was 20 or 30 people a hole. But it was really cool to see all the positivity, the support, and to say it's just good for world golf, I think. You know, I've been really happy with every tour I've played on. I've loved everything, every step of my career, you know, from the Von Nida Tour in Australia to the Grand Tour to, you know, the PGA Tour, and enjoyed everything. This has been a really good next step, and still extremely competitive. We're all very motivated to play well, and the fun factor is huge as well.
Yeah, No, that's cool, mate. I'm loving and watching Liv. I think it's the most watchable golf in the world. And, you know, the feedback we get here just in Australia doing this is that everyone loves it. So, mate, you're absolutely flying. Like, having Rahm and all those guys come across, there was noise this week that Rory was going, but he's put that to bed now, thank God, because I was buying into it. Don't know if it was another April Fool's joke like Cam threw on us all. But, like, what's it like? Like, since you guys sort of came, there's been a lot of cards that have fallen. Like, Brooks has come across, John Rahm's come across, DJ was already there, but, like, having those guys come across, does that sort of just solidify your decision and be like, hey, look, we're on a good thing here? The competition is just getting better. Like, there was a bit of word around the Masters, like, you know, top five were all PGA Tour players. But I think 13 Live players played. You know, I think 8 made the cut. I think 7 of them in the top 20. Like, it's pretty – like, they're still competing at the level. It was a tough week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's – No, it is. I mean, not that we needed anything to tell us or show us that we'd made the right decision, but it certainly is good to see, you know, those guys come over and the fields that we're playing against every week. You have to play really, really well to win one of these things. I've come close a few times, but there's no weak fields. We're playing against the same players every week, and most of them, everyone is capable of shooting really low scores. Everyone's won before, and you know, a lot of the guys are top players in the world. So it's difficult to win, but it's also good playing against those sort of fields. Yeah, I mean, it's been really, really cool.
Are you heading to Live Golf Adelaide this week? With half the golfers in Australia flying in, it must be hard to get a tee time at a local track. But don't worry, there's still a way for you to play. Head into X Golf Marion or X Golf West Lakes for the very best indoor golf and entertainment experience in Australia, where you can play world-famous courses, hire clubs, and get great food and drink while you play. Book online now at xgolf.com.au or call in today. Mate, I want to chat to you about your success. Like, I think you got to best ranking you had in the world rankings was 12th back in 2017. You're a 6-time PGA Tour winner. You've won 9 times in all other around the world. Lost in the 2015 playoff at the Open, had a tied 4th at the Masters, tied 5th at the Masters, tied 14th at the US Open. So when you're talking about the good quality players on Live, mate, you're definitely up the top of that list. Watching the Masters from home last week and watching your great mate Cam and those guys go around, what's that like from afar now and not being involved in that from a world ranking perspective? Does that sort of eke you? Do you wish you were there? Like, how's that all settling with you?
I mean, yeah, I wish I was there, but it's kind of cool to see it from a different perspective again. Like, yes, I wish I was there. But that was one of the things that I knew was going to be a pretty big possibility when I did sign, that, you know, the majors, aside from the, you know, the Open and the two Opens, the US Open, British Open, probably the, you know, the PGA and the Masters is going to be out just because of the world rankings. And, you know, that's okay. Obviously, you know, like I said, I do wish I was there. I enjoyed watching it on TV with my kids and my mates and having a few beers, talking through all the different shots that they had. I've had most of them. But, you know, I'm very lucky to do what I do for a job, and I love it. But it is a cool job, but still, it is my job. So as a dad, you know, you do it to – and I've already made, you know, a lot of money in my career. But, to have that extra time with your kids, still making very good money, traveling to new parts of the world, which I've done my whole life, you know, playing different tours around the world, which I really enjoy, to be able to do that again and spend more time with my kids and spend more time in Australia, do it with my best mate. It's a pretty, as far as the negatives go, if that's what I have to deal with, that's what I have to deal with to do everything else. If that makes any, like, I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Love it, mate. That's a great explanation. Thanks for clearing that up. And yeah, I hope they sort out the world ranking points, because you know, there's a few guys who you're playing with need probably a few more opportunities in those majors, especially the younger guys like you who haven't really had a crack yet. It'd be great to see what they can do.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they go about doing all that. I think they're too far gone, to be honest. The world ranking points are that, just because all the guys have dropped so much, even if we did get world ranking points now, it wouldn't matter because everyone's, well, I don't even know what I'm ranked. That's how much notice I've taken of it. So I think it'd be cool if they could give some spots to the top guys on Live, like they do, you know, to the guys that get into the Tour Championship on the PGA Tour, you know, whether it's 10 or 12, or I don't know what it is, but what the number is. I'm not a mathematician, but I think it wouldn't hurt the fields of the majors to have those top, 10 or 12 guys from live in there, because it's a quality top 10 or 12.
Absolutely, mate. Well, they've just filled out the top 20 at the Masters, so they're doing something right. Mate, let's chat about you as a junior golfer coming up through the ranks, dominant, Warrnambool kid, great spot. If you haven't been down there, anyone listening here, you got Port Ferry, you got Warrnambool, great spot to go for a golf trip. You got the Whalers, you got a couple other pubs down there which get pretty rowdy, especially start of May, leading after Liv actually head there for the May races, and you might find yourself in a bit of strife. But, mate, what was it like growing up in the Bull, and how'd you get into the game just really quickly?
Yeah, it was great growing up in Warrnambool. Obviously, it's a pretty small town. I think when I was growing up, it was about 25,000 people. When you're growing up there, you think there's everything you could possibly ever want is in Warrnambool. And then you go elsewhere and you're like, oh, it's actually a pretty big world. It's a really cool spot. Like I say, that, Warrnambool and Port Ferry golf courses. I mean, one of my favourite things about going down there is just going down. There's a cool place on the beach down there where you can go and watch the horses swim. Do the rehab in the morning. The May Race Carnival is a really fun 3-day racing carnival, which I would almost compare that a little bit to Live. You could go to the Warrnambool races and not see a horse run for the whole time, and still have a cracking day. So that's a little bit how it is at Live. You could go there, stay in the fan zone, watch a couple of concerts, have a ripping day, and not see a golf shot. But if you're a golfer, you can. You could obviously have an even better day. But yeah, it's a good spot. Once you get used to the weather, the chilly ocean temperatures, great spot to grow up. Got into golf. I mean, I played all sports. My dad was a good golfer, decent cricketer. So I played golf, cricket, played a bit of footy at school, a little bit of, surfing, but I did everything. So I was just better at golf than any of the other ones. And, that was the one that I thought I would have the biggest chance to make a living out of. So, you never actually know if you're going to do it. I sort of put all my eggs in the one basket and, I would say I'm, living my dream, traveling the world playing golf. If that hadn't come through, I think I would have been like a teaching pro or some sort of, club pro or something like that. So I sort of knew it would be something in the golf industry, but, very lucky to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, it's unreal, mate. You've been a pro for just on 20 years, I think, mate, back in just under 20 years. I won't age you that much. 2005, rookie of the year on the PGA Tour, 2009. That was sort of when Tiger was going all right. Did you cross paths with him and play much with him as a kid?
Yeah, so I played with Tiger in. First time I played with him was at the BMW Championship in 2009. Played together in the last round. He was leading by about five or six going into the last round. I was second, and I remember not literally, but I remember crapping my pants on the first tee because it was a perfect three wood, and I thought I was that nervous, and I don't normally get nervous. So I remember I was that nervous. I said to Maddie, my caddy, I'm like, "There's no way I can hit a three wood. Like, I think I might top it or miss it. I just don't know what to do. I've got a driver." And he's like, "Oh, well, if you've got a driver, you can drive." I'm like, "Well, but it's going to go straight into shit." So anyway, I ended up hitting three wood and hit a good shot and ended up shooting, I think, a bogey free 68 and finished second that day, which got me into the Tour Championship. So for about the first 10 or 12 holes, there wasn't really much talking. And then by then he was leading by, not five or six, but, six or seven or seven or eight. And then he relaxed a little bit and we spoke a lot, and we played a lot together in 2018, 19. We would have played probably, more than 10 times together. Got paired together in the first two rounds of the Masters in 18. So we actually, we really enjoyed playing with each other and had some really good conversations and would give each other a bit of crap. It was pretty fun. So, but, to see any, well, I guess his prime was 2000 to, 2005, but he's, I feel like 09 he won, I don't know how many times, it might have been 10 times in 09. Just witnessed one of them from inside the ropes in the last round was pretty cool. To play with him, wearing his red shirt and all that, you become a little bit of a spectator. But you know, towards the 2018-19, actually played really well when I played with them. I remember getting a good score, and that I might have been leading when I played the first two rounds of the Masters with him, leading or one back, and then played the final round of the US Open with him that at Pebble Beach that same year. And his tournament, we played the first two rounds together, and yeah, there's a lot. So it's, I really enjoy playing with him.
Yeah, that's a cool memory for, you know, you used to come with the kids and all that. You can, I'm sure you have a crowd around you at the Whalers.
Yeah, we've got some cool photos of, you know, at home, just sort of walking across. I think it's the Hogan Bridge with him, me and him, and then the Darrison Bridge and at Pebble Beach. It's, yeah, they've got some really cool photos.
Won a few times on the PGA Tour. What does it do to you, sort of growing up, wanting to be a golf professional? You know, you just said putting all your eggs in the one basket. You've won the Travelers, the Arnold Palmer, the BMW, the Farmers. You won the Zurich with Cam a couple of years back. But what does it do to your life becoming a PGA Tour winner? Like, how does that change your opinion of yourself or as a golf pro?
Validates that you're good enough to do it. There's so many ups and downs in golf. Like, you can win on the PGA Tour and then 3 months later, you feel like you're never going to have a birdie again ever in your life. It's the same for if you've won on the PGA Tour or, you know, when I was a 15 handicapper as a, probably, I don't know, 12-year-old or 11-year-old, you still get those same feelings. And it's just, I guess you can manage them a little bit better. And but, I mean, it didn't change me at all, I wouldn't say, my opinion of myself. You still got to put the hard work in and put the scores on the board. It's not like if you've won a PGA Tour event, you know, you get a couple of shots, you start on -2 on the first round, and then on the first round, but well, that would be nice. But no, I think it's it didn't really change me at all. You know, it's obviously nice to get that 2-year exemption from it. That's probably the biggest thing that comes out of it, is that those exemptions, because job security is not very common in golf. You know, normally you're year to year, and to have that 2 or 3 or 4 year exemption is massive.
Yeah. A lot of the guys we have on here, Leash, are Aussie Tour players who are in the same boat. Like, you know, they're playing for a lot less money. And just like when Benny won WAPJ last year, just the main thing, he was like, I've got a job for 2 years. Now I can just really get at it, you know, go after it, start birdie hunting a bit more rather than playing a bit safe. So,
yeah. And that doesn't change. Like, that's, I think that even when you're got that exemption or the money in the bank already or whatever it is, you know, you still want to keep earning your spot and doing good. So that never changes.
No, that's cool. That's really cool. The Open 2015, I don't want to open a scratch or wound on you, but watched it back last night after you text me. I was quite excited, so I'm gonna watch that. You're in a 3-man playoff with Louis Oosthuizen and Zach Johnson. You know, Zach's in the headlines this week, but Louis just seems like one of the most laid-back good blokes in golf. He's now on leave as well, but getting so close, like, I think you made bogey on the first playoff hole. It was a 3-man playoff, 3-hole playoff hole.
Yeah, I hit it straight into a divot down that on the tee shot, straight into a divot on the first. It was, probably the worst pin position in the world to have a divot. But anyway.
Yeah, like, getting to that close, like, can you just take us back to that moment in your life? It's nearly 9 years ago now, so, you know, you probably moved on. But what was it like sort of being in that position as a pro golfer? Like, you're nearly there, like, so close to being that next step.
Yeah, it was cool. It was funny. It was 3 or 4 months after my wife got really sick, and we sort of got told that she wasn't going to make it. I would like to go back and play probably the last 4 or 5 holes again, as every pro golfer would, you know, there's certain mulligans you'd like to have. It's funny that that entire week, or pretty much after my wife got sick, that entire year, the rest of that year, I didn't care. Like, I didn't care what I shot. I didn't care where my ball went, which is maybe saying something, but you look at where you want to hit it and just hit it there. And if it doesn't go there, you go and find it and hit it again, rather than worrying about, all right, well, don't hit it over here or don't hit it over there. I've got to hit it here to, you know, you just hit it. Don't really worry about the outcome. It worked out pretty good for me that year because I obviously, you know, played well that week and then won the Ned Bank later that year. But yeah, it would be nice to go back and just have a couple of shots again with a little, not that I wasn't trying, of course I was trying, but just have a little more awareness of how big the situation was. Just kind of look back on it, you know, you can win it and you see other guys win it and you're like, shit, I could have very easily won that. And I don't want to say should have, because the other boys played really well too, but I feel like I had that was a really, really good opportunity to win it, and I didn't take it, which was disappointing. But like I say, I was sort of, I was finished, and I remember I signed autographs after I finished and jumped in the car, went to Glasgow Airport, and I was just happy to be flying home to see my wife and kids. So it wasn't really commiserating or anything like that. I was happy with my second place, and away we went on to the next tournament. So yeah, I was a bit nonchalant about it all, I think.
While we're talking about Audrey and getting crook back in 2015, you guys have a foundation, the Begin Again Foundation. You're aiding families who need help with medical expenses. Very different setup to Medicare over in the States, so it's a very much needed organization that you've got. Do you want to give us a bit of an overview of that and how that came about with Audrey?
Yeah, so when she got sick, she got sepsis, blood poisoning, toxic shock syndrome, which is also blood poisoning, and then it all turned into acute respiratory distress syndrome. So that's like pneumonia, a spot of fluid on your lungs, acute respiratory distress. She could breathe and got put into a coma for, I think it was about 6 or 7 days. And it was the week of the Masters. So I went home from the Masters to be with her. So yeah, so we try and raise awareness about the symptoms of sepsis and how serious it is. I think it's for every hour that goes by with sepsis, your chance of dying goes up by 8%. So if you go to bed feeling crook, a lot of people don't wake up. Kills, I don't know how many worldwide, but it kills about 300,000 Americans every year. So, but if you know the symptoms and you get it early, it's just antibiotics and normally you're fine. So Audrey's had it since, but she spotted it early, got on the antibiotics, and obviously they've got to be the right antibiotics. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But, and, you know, she didn't even have to go into hospital. So awareness is a massive thing. And then we, you know, support local children's hospital, the Monash Children's Hospital. We do, you know, a lot of different things. I think we've given away over $2 million to date, with, you know, obviously a lot more to give. So it's pretty cool just to be able to help, and gives her a real purpose. She's very giving, as well, we both are, but you know, we like doing things for other people, and particularly people that really need it. We saw how much the hospital bills were for us, and we're lucky to be in the situation we were in that didn't break us, but a lot of people it does. So we know how fortunate we are, and we like to give back, and I think it's a, you know, good thing to do.
That's cool, mate. I'll chuck the link to the show notes in that. If anyone wants to support you and your organization, they can do that. Mate, let's lighten this right up. Last year, you were responsible for powering the spectators around at the Grange. If the Grange is a par 72, what's the patron par of Leishman's per day at the Grange?
Oh, dude. Well, we're not going to be there this year.
Oh, no.
Last year, how many cans? I reckon we sold. It was a lot of beer. I reckon it was like 80,000 cans, some ridiculous. It was just every time I'd say 10 a day at least. That'd be, you know, yeah, at least from Lager, you can rip into them. You wouldn't want to, you know, be a bit crook if you're having 10 or 12 Carlton drafts a day, but at least from Lager, I reckon you can handle it. As long as you're not getting in behind the wheel.
Yeah. No, be responsible. No, that's good, mate. Now, on every episode of this pod, we do a quick fire. It's just 5 questions. First off, we always go with, what is your dream four ball?
Dream four ball. It's probably changed a little bit in the last few years. I would say it's definitely my dad. My oldest son plays golf now, so he would be in it. And I would say Ricky Ponting.
Oh, punter. North Melbourne's very own. Fantastic. It's a good ball, punter. Very good player.
Yeah, that's what I haven't played with him. I've known him for probably 10 or 12 years, and I've never played with him. So we'll have to change that.
Have to sort that out. Career low round, either in comp or just a social round. It can be down at the Bull, it can be over in the States. Career low round.
Yeah, it was 60. I shot 60. It was my rookie year on the Australian tour. I shot 60 on the first round of the, I think it was the Toyota Southern Classic at Woolooware Golf Club in Sydney. So I ended up winning that tournament, which was nice. That was my first pro win.
Now, what's an item that always goes in your golf bag, whether you're swapping from the Ripper GC bag to just a day bag that you go out with? Is there something that always transfers?
Yeah, a little pitchfork, the Bix pitch marks. So, that and I've got a little valuables pouch thing that I put my wallet and phone in when I'm going. But the pitchfork I got from Memorial in Columbus, Ohio, Jack Nicklaus's tournament. And I've used that since I was, when I was with Titleist, I used a Scotty Cameron thing, and then I changed to Callaway at the end of 2015 and went to that one. I've used it every round I've played since. So I'd hate to think how many ball marks that's fixed, but it's very sharp. I stab myself with it all the time, not on purpose. Yeah, you know, you get it up behind the fingernail or something. And yeah, that's always, I thought I've lost it a couple of times and always tends to turn up.
Favourite course? You know, you've played everywhere. Which one's your favourite?
If I could only play one course for the rest of my life, I would say it would be probably Royal Melbourne, composite at Royal Melbourne. I mean, Augusta's really good. I love playing St Andrews and Torrey Pines. Torrey Pines is a good one. If I knew the weather was going to be good, I'd probably say there.
Yeah, big predicament you got there, mate. Picking one of those to go and play it.
Yeah. It's nice that I've played them. It's, I mean, any of them on a crappy weather day is, I don't love playing in the crappy weather, but you know, sunny, 25 degrees, any golf course is good, isn't it?
Absolutely, mate. Now this is the last one, and it's tough, but you're playing down at the Bull. It's one of those shitty warnable days, and you're a bit hungover. It's probably the Monday after the May races is finished. You're starving. Are you going for a sandwich or for a pie through nine holes at the pro shop?
Oh, pie. 100% pie. Yeah, no doubt. And I'll probably be that hungry, I'll burn my mouth and do all that. Have that skin on the top of your mouth peeling for about the next 4 days. Yeah, I mean, hard to go past a pie, isn't it? Pie, maybe a couple of dim sims, rip into some sort of Pepsi or something just to really get rid of that hangover, right?
Yeah. No, mate. Well, Leesh, I really appreciate you coming on. Massive week for Aussie golf with Liv. You give me some time. You're up at the airport waiting to fly out. Really appreciate it. Can't wait to watch you guys peg it up next week and travel safe.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, mate. It's been good being on. Good talking to you. And looking forward to seeing you next week. Hopefully we can have a big week for the Rippers.
Absolutely. Out the Rippers. Let's fire. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producies Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share it with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or to advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.